take out your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 2 Kings. So 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to be covering verses 18 to 37 today, but I thought I would just take a week break from the book of Ephesians to do something somewhat related to Mother's Day, but of course it's going to apply to all of us, as you'll see. But 2 Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings 4, what we find is a woman with persistent faith. And let me ask you, do you have persistent faith? Because faith in God often comes easy when you're going through easy times, right? But your faith is tested when you're going through a trial. And so the question is, will you trust Him in the hard times? Will you trust Him in the sorrowful seasons of life, in the difficult moments? So think about a person who begins a long journey on a boat. And when he starts out, it's all smooth sailing. The water is calm. It's sort of easy to traverse. And so he thinks, this is simple. At the time, he thinks that it's easy to trust the Lord. He considers, look, what the Lord is with me. He's making it go so well. Isn't God so good? And when you see that sailor in the calm waters, he appears to be, man, the most God-reliant person there is. But suddenly, what happens? The storm hits. The waves rise. The boat starts to totter. And now, it's a completely different story. He's no longer acting like that God-reliant, God-confident person. Rather, he's acting more like a guy who thinks that God has abandoned him. He's fearful. He's doubtful. He wonders, where is God? I thought that he was with me. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? I thought God was good. You see, it's the chaotic waters that reveal our faith, not always the calm waters. You think about when you look at two basketballs, they both look the same. But what happens is when you put pressure on it, when you try to bounce it, it reveals this whether the ball is inflated or deflated. And so the chaotic waters of life, they put pressure on us. They reveal the state of our faith. And they lead us to see, is my faith persistent through both the calm and the chaotic waters of life? Well, today we will see an example of a woman and a mother whose persistent faith, it just shines brightly in a world of fickle faith. Let's meet her, shall we? Before we go to verse 18, let me just briefly share what went before because it's important for the context. This happens during the time of the ministry of Elisha. So, you know, there's Elijah, and then after him is Elisha. And they're very similar sounding names. So if I accidentally say Elijah, what I mean is Elisha, okay? Elisha. So this is a time of Elisha. And Elisha is, of course, in his ministry, and he meets this wealthy Shunammite woman. And she's very wealthy, but she's also very generous. She's very hospitable. And so Elisha would travel through the area, and she would have him over for a meal or something like that. And she would feed him. Due to her generous heart, over time, she actually makes a small room in her house for him to stay at. And it was furnished with even, of course, the bed, but even like a table, a chair, a lamp. So he never had to worry about food and lodging when it came to the city of Shunem, right? What a blessing to Elisha. And due to all this, Elisha, he wants to give her something in return. And what he finds out is this woman and her husband, they do not have a son. We don't know exactly if they're childless, but we know they do not have a son. And yet, through the power of God, Elisha prophesies that a year from then, she would have a son, and it happens. God miraculously provides this child, and there's, of course, great joy. And so that's sort of the background to what's going to happen next, because what you'll find is the story will then involve this promised and given child. And so let's read, starting in verse 18, 2 Kings 4, 18. When the child had grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers. And he said to his father, "Oh, my head, my head." The father said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. We'll stop there for now. And so here the precious God-given child suddenly dies. Now, we don't know exactly how old he was, but he's old enough to, of course, go out to the fields to visit his father, most likely working. And that's when suddenly he has this pain in his head, and we don't know exactly what's going on here health-wise specifically, but it doesn't necessarily matter for the sake of the story. We know it's a serious issue because it leads to death eventually. But in the midst of this pain, what does the father do? Like every father knows, children want their mother when they're in pain most often. And so he says, hey, take him to his mother. Because mothers are often more tender and caring ones. And so children want mom when they're hurt, when they're sad or sick. Wasn't that the case maybe for you growing up? I'd probably say most likely for most of us. And so you find a child on the lap of his mother for maybe for a couple hours, it may be. And you can tell this mother cares and loves this child, this God-given child, as she tends to him on her lap for hours, and as he's in great pain and agony, but sadly the boy dies. And you can just imagine the heartache of this mother that would come upon her. Because, of course, any sort of death that we face in our life of a loved one is hard, and it's really a burden on us. But it's one thing to go through the death of an older loved one who's been sick for years, and of course there's pain in that. But it's still another to face the sudden death of your young child who was just healthy mere hours before. And so as we think about this situation, it shows us this truth that following the Lord can sometimes lead us into challenging times. Because you think about this mother and her son, of course, didn't do anything wrong. They're just living their lives and tragedy strikes. So it's not like they're Ananias and Sapphira who lied to the Holy Spirit about how much money they were selling a piece of land. In fact, it's God who brought this child into her life. She didn't even ask for the child. She was a godly woman who sought to follow the Lord, and yet all of a sudden suffering entered into her life. Challenging times met her when she was before just sort of smooth sailing. Not that her life was perfect, but it wasn't like this. But haven't you experienced something similar? You sought to follow the Lord, but some sort of challenging, heart-wrenching, grieving, painful time hit. And it wasn't like you were, you know, Ananias and Sapphira doing something like that, but it happened. And those can be really like faith-testing times. Painful times where we wonder, God, what are you doing? Why did this happen? And in most of these instances, it doesn't make sense to us. Like for Job, for the longest time, it didn't make sense to him. It didn't make sense to this woman. Through Elisha, God promised this son to her. God graciously gave her this son. She didn't even ask for it at that time. And now, not long after, this same child is taken away. It could easily make someone think, why would God even do that? Like, why would God hold out this gift for me, let me experience it for a couple of years, and then just take it away? Does that happen to you? Maybe it was, you know, why did God give me this job only for a couple of years down the road I would get laid off? Why did God give me this child only to watch them suffer horrific things? Why did God provide for my needs in my past? And things were going well. We bought a house, and now it seems like I can't even pay off the mortgage. Why bring that amazing close friend into my life only for them a couple years later to move away? I think of Joni Erickson Tada, who in her teenage years, she was very active, gifted as an athlete, doing many activities, but in a tragic accident at 17 years old, she was paralyzed from the shoulders down. And she could have easily thought, why give me these natural athletic gifts only to be taken away for the rest of my life? For the Shunammite woman, when Elisha prophesied that she would have a child, she even said to him, basically, please don't lie to me. Please don't get my hopes up. And now, with the child, her longings were satisfied. She had great joy, but it was just dashed to pieces in a couple of hours. And so the truth is, following the Lord won't always mean just calm waters, easy times, no hardship. And actually, following the Lord will take you through many challenging moments. And so a Christian's life isn't just all ease. It's not all smooth sailing and calm waters and rainbows and butterflies, so to say, on this side of heaven. It's also what? Facing chaotic waters, facing storms, facing sorrow, facing pain. You're going to be led to points in your life where you wonder, what is God doing? Why is God doing this? Things won't make sense to you, but the question I want to ask you is this, what then? That is, how are you going to respond to these challenging, confusing times? As you think about your past, how did you respond sometimes? Maybe not so good. Maybe with bitterness and anger at God, maybe despair, maybe with doubt. Well, let's look at how this woman responds, continuing on in verse 21. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again." And he said, "Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." She said, "All is well." Then she saddled the donkey, and she said to her servant, "Urge the animal on. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Look, there is the Shunammite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, 'Is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child?'" And she answered, "All is well." And when she came to the mountain to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi came to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" He said to Gehazi, "Tie up your garment and take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not reply. And lay my staff on the face of the child." Then the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. We'll stop there for now. Knowing what this woman went through, you could think of what some responses she could have had. She could have become angry at God. She could have given up in despair, and yet she doesn't. She could have given up in despair and lost all hope, but she has confident, persistent faith. And that's what we see in her example, is that following the Lord means trusting Him even when things look bleak. Even when things look bleak. Because as you think about how she responds to this situation, it's amazing. As not long after her son dies, she sets out to go see Elisha. And it's like instantly, it was like her mind went to the solution. And so she probably thought, "God used Elisha to bring this son into my life, and now I'll go to Elisha when the son is taken away." And so she didn't waver or doubt about where the answer was. She knew what Job proclaimed: the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. When you go through a trial, where does your mind go first? Where does it go first? Does it go first to the Lord, or does it go to a million other places? first. What happens in our challenging times is our minds get clouded with sorrow, clouded with confusion, clouded with anger and more. We often let these wrong thoughts sort of overtake our minds and push thoughts of God out of our minds. And so instead of going to the Lord first, sometimes we end up making going to the Lord our last resort when everything else fails. Yet in this woman's mind, it was like as soon as it happened, it's like her mind went to the Lord. And I think about the Greeks who went to Philip and they say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Well, this woman gets up and thinks, "I need to see Elisha. I must see Elisha." And in your hardships, in your trials, in your storms of life, when things look bleak, do you think, "I must see Jesus"? This woman is full of faith, even in the bleakest moment. I mean, her child just died, and yet what does she do? She doesn't actually seek to bury the child. She lays him up on the man of God's bed and closes the door behind her. Isn't that interesting? I mean, why do that? He's not taking a nap, of course. He's dead. Because she's full of faith right then. When all hope seemed lost, she hadn't lost all hope. When death seemed to be the final word, she knew that death doesn't have to be the final word when God is involved. She had faith that the one who originally gave life to this boy could give life to his dead body as well. And so she's looking forward in faith to what God could do and not simply sulking in what happened. And I wonder if we live with that kind of faith, the kind of faith that believes that God can do what seems impossible to us. When that person seems like they will never change, do you have the faith that God can change them? When a person appears like they would be someone who would never turn and trust in Jesus Christ, do you trust that God can do a miracle and can give them new spiritual life? When it seems like those bills won't be paid, do you trust that God can provide? Do we live with that kind of faith, that God can do it? Do we figuratively lay the situation on the bed, close the door, and seek God? Not only did this woman put the child on the bed in faith, but if you notice, twice, when someone asks her what's going on, she responds, "All is well." The first time it happens is when she tells her husband about going to see the man of God, and he's like, "Wait a second, why are you going to see him? It's not a special day, right? It's not one of those special religious days." And she says, "All is well," and then leaves. The next time happens is when she's on her way to Elisha, and Elisha sends his servant to find out what's going on, and the woman simply says, "All is well." And I kept pondering over, why would she say this? Why would she keep saying, all is well, when things did not seem like they were well? Now, it could be that she was just so focused on reaching Elisha that she didn't want to be deterred or delayed by any sort of conversation. She was like, you know, that point A to point B, I need to go see Elijah right away. It could be that she kept saying all is well as a way to encourage her heart in a hard time. Kind of like when, you know, we go through a stressful, hard time and you have to keep encouraging your heart. It's going to be okay. God is good. God is good. He's in control, right? You're repeating these to encourage your heart. Or it could be that she truly believed in faith that all would be well no matter what happened. But either way, it reminds us as Christ followers, we can say all is well even in the most difficult circumstances of life. Because we follow the Lord, we know He's good. He's in control. We can encourage our hearts. We can even believe in our hearts that all is well in the grand scheme of things, no matter what happens. And so that's why we can sing, of course, that hymn, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And so when you're going through hard, bleak-looking times, do you ever encourage your heart with all is well? Do you speak to others in that kind of way? Or do people often see you as always that negative person, that faithless person, that pessimistic person? The only way we can say all is well, even in the hardest times, is if you trust who God is, that He's in good, He's in control. I can lay my circumstances at His feet. You see, saying all is well, it doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away the tears. For we find, what do we find? When she falls at Elisha's feet, he says she's in bitter distress. He knows. He can tell. So know as you live this life, you're going to be in bitter distress at times. In fact, in the original language, it actually states that her soul is in bitter distress within her. Her soul. She was in distress and anguish over the loss of her son, just deep within her. And that's what we often experience when we're going through trials and hardships, is we have this bitter distress deep within us. And so no, faith doesn't take away the tears. But faith through the tears shows someone who is looking in the right place. They're believing that the Lord has the answer no matter what happens. This woman also shows the need for persistent, determined faith. And when you read the story, you can just see her persistence. You can see her determination to get to Elisha. And so she sets out to go there. She calls for a servant. She calls for a donkey. And she even says to the servant, hey, don't slow down unless I tell you. I mean, we have a goal to get there and get there quickly. She travels to Mount Carmel, which is about 15 to 20 miles away. And so this is a good-sized journey. It's not like now where you hop in your car or something. I mean, this is traveling by donkey, traveling by foot, and so it's going to take a long time. Some people say maybe even 5 to 6 hours one way. Talk about determination. She's so determined, she's not even delayed by Gehazi coming to her and inquire about what's going on. She must see the man of God. Determinately, persistently, urgently, she travels straight to Elisha. And when she gets there, she lays hold onto his feet. And in a way, she's clinging to the Lord through clinging to the man of God. God's prophet, God's messenger, God's servant. In her darkest moment, she determined to go to the place where she could hear from God and where she knew God worked through His prophet. And I wonder, are we that persistent in our faith? Are we that determined to go to the Lord in our dark hours? Because many times we're sort of like the opposite of this woman, where we could easily get delayed, sidetracked from going to the Lord, right? Something drastic happens in our lives and we think, okay, well, I got to do this first and I got to do that first. I got to go talk to this person. And then, okay, later on at bedtime, I'm going to go to God. No, we should be like this woman, doing everything possible in determination to go to the Lord immediately. And in order to do this, you have to have this belief that God is my answer. God is my solution. God is what I need in this moment. More than rest, more than my to-do list, more than talking to others, more than anything else, in my hardest trial, I need the Lord first. I need Him first. And so in faith-filled trust, determination, and persistence, go to the Lord. You can trust Him. And so we learned about the sad death of this woman's son. We learned about her faith-filled journey, but now what's going to happen? Is her journey of faith, is it going to be worth it? Or is it all going to end with bitter distress as the final words? Let's read and find out. Starting there in verse 31. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was no sound or a sign of life. Therefore he returned to meet him and told him, "The child has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and lay on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself upon him, the flesh of the child became warm. Then he got up again and walked once back and forth in the house and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, "Pick up your son." She came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Elisha sends his servant to go ahead and to lay his staff upon the child's face, but it doesn't work. Elisha finally gets there and he sees the child for sure dead there on the bed, and so he shuts the door and he prays. And he prays. And then he does something interesting. He lays on the child, putting his mouth and eyes and hands on the child's mouth, eyes and hands. He gets up, walks around a little bit, and then does it again. And then another intriguing detail, the child sneezes seven times. You're thinking, well, what's with that? And so you have that interesting detail. But through this, God does a miracle. The child is alive. The woman comes in, and of course, I'm sure there's shock, there's joy, but she falls at his feet and then gets up, takes her son, and goes out. Talk about a miracle. And what we see in this ending is that following the Lord is always worth it. It's always worth it. Don't you love that feeling of seeing or experiencing that something was worth it? I think about Olympic athletes, and they are just training hard every single day. And it's not pleasant, I'm sure. It's grueling. It's taxing upon them. But when they get that gold medal, I'm sure they're thinking it was worth it. When you're working hard at your job, it's not always pleasant, but when you see the outcome of course, having your bills paid, or even just the satisfaction of seeing things done, seeing projects accomplished, we often think it's worth it. But in a much greater and more eternally important way, it's worth it to follow the Lord. It's always worth it. In our lives as followers of Christ, it won't always be pleasant. There's going to be days of bitter distress, great sorrow. There's going to be pain. There's going to be effort needed. There's going to be various trials that come our way, but it will always be worth it to trust Christ. We're called to live by faith. We're called to trust the promises of God, and we are called to look forward in confident hope. But how can we live this way? Because we serve a God who gives life and who brings back to life. You see, that's what the woman knew. That's what Elisha knew. And it may even be that Hebrews 11, that great chapter about all the people of faith, maybe even Hebrews 11:35, maybe even talking about this woman. For it says, by faith, women receive back their dead by resurrection. In fact, you think about Hebrews 11, it's talking all about these people of faith, but it's also showing us that it's worth it to put your faith in Jesus, to trust God. And so I wonder, do we know and believe trusting God is worth it? It's always worth it. We serve a Lord who gives life. He raises the dead, like this little boy who suddenly died, but of course God miraculously made him alive. And I won't think about that boy for the rest of his life. He's going to know this and experience this. Every breath that he would take for the rest of his life would be this constant reminder, God gives life. And I wonder if every breath we take is a reminder, God gives life. He gives life. Not only did God raise this little boy in 2 Kings 4, but we know the rest of the Bible because we see him giving life various places. But we see it most amazingly, powerfully in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
He rose so that we could have life. He conquered the grave so that we wouldn't have to taste eternal death. He took our sins upon himself, died for them, rose again victoriously, proving that redemption had been accomplished. God gives life. Because of Christ's work, we can have spiritual life. Because as we learn in Ephesians, God took us who were dead in our sins and made us alive together with Christ. You see, this little boy being raised from the dead is not just a nice little story and that's it. Because it's pointing us somewhere. It's pointing us to God who gives life. He gives life to people who desperately need it. Sinners condemned in their sin to eternal death. He gives forgiveness and life through Jesus Christ. And we know the promise that for those who trust in Jesus, he will give us resurrected bodies, glorified bodies someday. So if you have trusted in Christ to be saved, what a glorious hope. You will receive a resurrected, glorious body, no longer to taste death, no longer to taste decay ever again. Because this little boy would die once again, physical death. But we will be raised to never die again, to live with Christ forever. And so what else can we do but like that Shunammite woman did, to just fall down in gratitude for us, in worship to Christ. And we go in joy, knowing what? It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to trust the Lord. And so follow the Lord, trusting him with everything. It's worth it. Because the truth is, as we saw this morning, as we know, you're going to face challenging times in life as a follower of Christ. And there's going to be those moments where you're going to wonder, what is God up to? Why is he doing this? You're going to be confused at times. You're going to be grieved deeply. You're going to feel bitter distress like this woman. Your faith is going to be stretched and tested. But how will you respond? Will you trust him? Even when things look bleak, will you put your faith in the God who gives life? Go to him, trusting him with everything. It's worth it. Moms, I want to talk to you briefly this morning. You are going to likewise face challenging situations in life. And the examples, of course, could be endless. But what about when it comes to your children? There's going to be times where your children are sick. There's going to be times when your children are in danger, when they're out of your control. Will you give them up to the Lord? Will you go to the Lord first and trust him like this mother in 2 Kings? Will your faith be one that's tested by fire, but that comes out more precious than gold? Even in the hardest moments, you can trust the Lord and know that it will be worth it. You can trust the Lord and say to him, Lord, I'm not exactly sure what you're doing right now, but this I know. I know you're good. I know you're in control. And in that knowledge, I know that ultimately all is well with you on the throne. So Christian, it is worth it to follow and trust Christ. Because the one who originally gave our physical bodies life has given us spiritual life, and he will someday give us resurrected, glorious bodies someday. And so if God can give life, what can he not do? Do we have that kind of confident, persistent faith, knowing that who our God is, who our answer is, who we are to go to first? Do we trust him with everything? And the truth is, the results and what we're going to see isn't always going to be how we planned it and how we want it. But we can know that all things do work together for good for those who trust Christ, who believe in God. And so we can give it to him knowing that he is good. And so run to the Lord, grasp his feet, lay your bitter circumstances at his feet, remembering who he is, because guess what? The better Elisha has come. the better Elisha has come, because Elisha was just a man, but Jesus was God and man. Elisha had to pray to the Lord to bring this boy to life after his staff didn't work, but Jesus would use a word or two and just instantly they would have new life. And he rose from the grave. Jesus is the better Elisha, the perfect prophet who wasn't only a prophet. He was prophet, priest, and king, the Messiah, the Lord of all. He is the God who took on flesh and dwelt among us, and that we know it's in and through and because of him that we find forgiveness, meaning, hope, and guess what? Life. He's worth turning to and abiding in and clinging to and trusting with everything that we have. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are truly the giver and provider of life. Life in all of its forms. Lord, you have given our bodies physical life, and we should be grateful and thankful for every single breath that we take. But Lord, we know that you also give us spiritual life for those who trust in Jesus. And Lord, you will give our bodies resurrected future forever life, glorified bodies that will live forever. And we are thankful for that as well as we look forward in faith and hope toward that day. And so help us, Lord, to trust you, to persistently trust you, knowing that it's worth it, and to lay our circumstances at your feet, going to you first for everything and trusting you with it all. Help us to do that, Lord, as in ourselves we can't, but we can through your might and your power. And so, Lord, help us to do that and to be encouraged by you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.